cliffcentral.com. All right, this is the SME Showcase section of the Business Masterclass, which runs from 1 to 2. And we have in the studio Maisien Corsi from Bella Bonnie Guesthouse. She's one of the five finalists of the Tsakosan Entrepreneur Program, which is a magnificent initiative. And next Thursday, I don't know the exact date, they will announce their final winner. So Maisien Corsi, welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone.
What an experience. You've sat in front of panels. You've gone through, I don't know, a program. You're sitting in the studios. You know, things that I guess, in essence, you never thought you would be exposed to.
It's so amazing. It's so encouraging. As an entrepreneur, one needs this to go on running in this race.
Hmm. Well, it's wonderful to have you in the studio. We've had a few times where you've touched base with guest houses because of the connection with Tsakosan. But Maisie, your background. How long have you run this guest house specifically, Bella Bonnie?
I resigned 10 years ago. Then I decided to be full-time into the guest house. Actually, I bought a property and decided to change it into a guest house because of the location.
Okay.
It's so accessible from all national routes, N12 and N4. So I thought this would be the nice place to where everyone won't miss it. And yeah, since then, I've been growing from strength to strength.
Mm. We're going to ask you more about that. But what did you resign from?
From teaching.
So you were a teacher?
Yes, I was a teacher.
High school, primary school?
High school.
What did you teach?
I'm a geographer. I measured with geography.
So not accounting or anything, business, economics?
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it there. So I ended up landing on geography, which is something that I still enjoy because I also like traveling a lot.
All right. Yeah. So you left teaching for good?
I left teaching for good. No more going back. But I can still say I'm a teacher because I'm still teaching people where I am. We are teaching it other, but I'm also, you know, imparting the knowledge that I know with my team.
I think in my book, Seamless Leadership, or some article I wrote, I mentioned that leaders must see themselves as teachers. You must teach the vision. You must teach the strategy. You must teach the message, the cause, the purpose, rather than communicate it. Because I think communicate is part of teaching, rather than teaching part of communicating. So you see yourself still as a teacher in many respects.
Yes, I am.
Do you enjoy this teaching more than you enjoyed teaching high school students?
I think because this one is more practical and you get a lot of challenges every day that makes you grow. Unlike going to a class knowing every day that I'm going to deliver this, you know, this lesson. So year after year, it doesn't change quickly. So with this one, it's more challenging because there are a lot of changes every day. So you can't stay stagnant, telling yourself that I know much. As I was listening to the previous speaker talking about the benefits that Discovery World offers, I'm learning a lot and it's so scared knowing that you have to come up with a lot of things to keep your clients. You know, you mustn't give them two or three benefits and think that they'll stay with you.
Yeah. The world we're in is so complex and so innovative and creative. So tell us about your, before you tell us about your business. So did you start your guest house while you were a teacher? Was it running on the side? You said you left to do it full time.
No, actually, I can say I've been selling all my life. And I always tell people that, you know, sometimes you do things not knowing that you'll survive out of that. I remember I was selling even at primary school, not knowing the change. I would tell people to take their own change as long as there were people around me buying sweets. So that to me was something that was fulfilling. And I grew up doing that. University at tertiary level, I was also doing that. When I was a teacher, was also selling to my colleagues, selling all over. Then I decided to, I've been doing a lot of things that, you know, I can't even remember, starting from boiling eggs at the bus stops, you know, and until most people were just encouraging me in my community that, Maisie, why don't you consider resigning and doing this full time? Because we can see you are so passionate about what you're doing.
So you've always had an entrepreneurial element in you.
Yes.
Now you're really doing it. I mean, tell us about your business, your guest house.
My guest house is situated at Malahleni, 108 OR Tambo. It's a four-star graded guest house. We have 20 rooms now, and we have other rooms that are not graded that we are about to grade and add. We're going to have 30 all in all. And we're intending to grow into a hotel. And our guest house have done so well to market themselves or to make noise. You know, when you are a small business, you need to go out there and make noise, compete by entering competitions, doing a lot of stuff that will make people to recognize you.
You must be a Richard Branson, you know.
Yes, yes. I'm so competitive to make sure that, and I have a team that even if I'm not there, they'll tell me that, you know, we fill in this forms, we're going to try again the other competition. So we've managed to get some few awards. The recent one from EOY Business Partners. I'm the small category winner, award category winner. So hence I'm saying I'm here again on this one of Tsogosan. Being a finalist to me, it means a lot for Tsogosan, because Tsogosan, they're very experienced and we're going to learn a lot. I'm still learning a lot from them.
Belinda and Richard, there's 20 rooms, will be 30 soon. And then even beyond that, you're talking about hotel.
Yes.
How big does it take it there? I mean, that's quite a nice, it's a nice story, isn't it? Does that mean 60 rooms? Does it just mean, when do you become a hotel?
Yes, it can be 60 rooms. Initially, we were thinking of 45, but now, you know, we'll see when we get there, because, you know, we, as I'm saying, we keep on changing, depending on the demand as well, the research that we would have made, and yeah.
There's a very important word that you've just used there, the research, because the reality is, everybody always goes, well, hey, bigger is better. My experience, particularly in the accommodation and services industry like you're in, is that more rooms doesn't always equal better business. So it's important that you understand what your client base is looking for. For example, I, out of preference, would choose not to stay in a hotel, a massive hotel, because it's generally going to be noisy, have more, you know, more people, more activity. You know, if I'm looking for a hotel that's going to suit me as a business person, I want something that's quiet, that I can work at. So facilities, I mean, I was just recently had the joy of staying in a hotel where I had specifically booked. And the first thing on my list, my category, you know, my selection was I wanted Wi-Fi. It was the first thing I ticked on that. Even before I picked location, I went, I want Wi-Fi. And then I picked the location where I wanted to stay. I get to the hotel and there's Wi-Fi in the rooms until 8 p.m. And then the Wi-Fi died. And the first night I went down to the reception, I said, like, the Wi-Fi's dead. Oh, no, oh, no, something's not working. But here's the login for the admin Wi-Fi here at reception area, such a reception. And just so I kind of went, okay, I can fix that tonight. Okay. The next night, same event, 8 o'clock. It was like timed. 8 o'clock, bang, no Wi-Fi. The next night, 8 o'clock, whack, no Wi-Fi. Well, guess what? You don't want to know what my review looks like on bookings.com on that particular hotel. They will not get another business booking if somebody reads my review comments. And my view is simply this. I'm paid to have that Wi-Fi connectivity. It's an international hotel. I needed connectivity, and they made my life difficult. And I'm going to say it. And yeah, that's the way it is.
I think, you know, most we lose the point by not telling people the truth when we market ourselves. We overpromise, and when people come to our establishments, they don't get what we've promised. Hence, we have to be honest and make sure that whatever you promise people, you try to exceed what you have promised. Don't overpromise and deliver less.
Macy, to go to hotel level, do you have to purchase? Do you have to merge? What do you have to do to get there?
To get to my hotel, actually, I started with my applications in 2009, so they were delayed with the municipality. And I thought, since there's a delay and the business was still doing well, let me invest the money by buying properties around my guest house. Since the first guest house was financed by Standard Bank, 80% was from Standard Bank, and then after 3 months, I was financed 100%, which was next door. Then thereafter, I never looked forward. I started buying all the properties around the guest house cash, which is about 6 of them. So I'm not owing those properties, and I've tried to reduce my installments so that when time comes, I have something. Even if I can get a funder, I mustn't loan a lot of money. I must just get, you know, most of the portion must come from me. So I'm ready to grow, waiting for economy to be exciting again, because we can see there's a lot of challenges. You can't just risk now and say, since this is my dream, you know, hence I'm saying things keep on changing. You can't stick to your plan. You always have, you know, you have to deviate and get another option to.
Especially in today's world, hey?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you in a moment about your loyalty program. How do you attract and keep your retain your customers? But how has it really been to in the end, what I gather is while you were a teacher, you were kind of a salesperson, always selling things. What's the right word? There's another
hustler.
Word. Yeah, hustler maybe, but just making money with schemes around all the time, you know, selling. Because teachers, I guess, don't earn a lot, and those were all adding to your quality of life. But then you got into a business with a P&L, with staff, and how has it really been the last 10 years? Not as romantic as you thought, or just tell us the reality.
You know, you think a guest house is something that is obvious. I mean, we're hosting guests at home. We cook for them. I know how to clean because I'm someone who's very neat. So I thought it was going to be easy. As long as we are neat, as long as you can cook. I'm not a chef, but I told myself that I can do the basics. So my guests will be fine, not knowing that I need to comply. I thought if I have the house, and I didn't even go to the municipality to apply that I need to rezone. I didn't know all about that. I didn't know about grading because, you know, in our times, you're not privileged to go to the hotels. So there's a lot of things that I learned. I remember even the TV licenses, inspectors came to my place. I had TVs and under the domestic license, I thought it works that way. I had to get a great fine for that. And
hard lessons.
Yes,
real lessons.
Yes. Being health inspectors would come to my place. Since I mentioned that I'm at the accessible place, anyone who passes by, if he sees Bella Bonnie guest house, wants to come in and check how we're operating. So I had a lot of challenges from the municipality, from everyone, and the guests as well. You know, the demands. Mm. You know, you won't please everyone. And at first you think these people are difficult because I didn't get enough training before I get into this industry. But along the way, since I'm journeying, you know, I learned to deal with difficult customers through studying, and I've learned to deal with, you know, there are a lot of challenges that we're facing, and to empower people to trust and delegate some of the things, because before I thought I was going to be the only one who will be running the show, not knowing that I need my team. So hence I'm here. I trust them. I know they can run with the business.
So you thought great location is just wonderful, but in the end, the great location was a bit of a pain.
Exactly.
Everyone seeing you and the health inspector seeing you and everyone. So you had to go through those lessons to get to where you are now. You must have quite a, how many staff do you have? 20 rooms, 30 rooms?
We have 6 full time. Then it depends on business. Then we have the part time staff.
So
when then when really we want full. To employ more, we take the ones that have been working for us part time.
Yeah. All right, so lots of lessons learned.
I was going to say the reality of life, unfortunately, is that those hard knocks that you take along the way are sometimes, you know, people often say, well, I invest in training or I go on a course or whatever. I often say that the lessons you've learned in life are actually what you put down on your income statement as your training. So the penalty for the TV license scenario, that's a training course that you paid for. And you must just remember that it's important to take those lessons, those, let's call them life lessons, and make sure that you internalize them, A, both in yourself and in those around you, because fundamentally, that's the training course. You don't ever want a general manager to not pay the TV licenses and then you find yourself with yet another fine, because that's the lesson learned twice. You had to go on the training course twice to learn that one.
You failed the first one. So we spoke about, what was the theme? Customer loyalty, lifetime loyalty.
Lifetime value, yes.
And value. What was the exact title?
Customer lifetime value.
Customer lifetime value. How does it apply in a guest house, Belinda? What would you say? And you were listening very carefully.
Belinda?
Well, both of you, but Belinda, maybe you can comment. But you were listening as well,
yes.
Sitting there in that same chair.
Yes.
Just tell us, what did you pick up from that, Macy? How are you doing in that department?
You know, the experience that Belinda was talking about is something that we need to live by delivering and or exceeding their expectations, which everyone will say that, will answer that way. But we make sure that we treat each customer, you know, differently, because customers are not the same. And don't think that because this customer this time is like this, when he comes back, he'll be like that. You know, you must always, you know, because like, let me give an example. We know some of our customers, we give them food. Next time when they come, they don't like that because they've been diagnosed with maybe high blood pressure or that. Now it changes. You have to change with the customers. Don't say, oh, it's difficult. It's this and that. We know that one. And difficult customers, they're the ones that make us grow. So we've learned to understand our customers. We keep them because we understand them. And the other thing, we try to attract business again by being active on social media, trying to make noise. Whatever that is happening around the guest house, we update them. And if you follow us on social media, like on this show, we told them this morning that we're having this. If you come to our guest house, you tell us that we had you on Diff Central, then we give you a 5% discount. We were profiled on Drum Magazine. We said if you bring that copy of Drum Magazine, then we upgrade you to the rooms. So those are the things we want them to keep, you know.
I like how loyal you are to the people who profile you.
Exactly. So we want them to follow us. It's exciting because they'll get benefits for that.
That's clever, isn't it? Belinda, you can't comment.
I'm sitting here in awe and just thinking you're continuously innovating. And I think you said some really key words already. I think the whole thing around specifically understanding that your customers' needs change. They do change. And I think understanding that life cycle that they go through, what they want today is not what they want tomorrow. And I think what you said there was spot on. I also think your entrepreneurial spirit of finding ways to connect with a customer at different levels. I think that's serving you 100%. And I think it's a driving that loyalty. I would imagine a lot of business that you get is word of mouth. Somebody had a great experience and they tell someone else about it. I think that is probably the key, and it's building on that word of mouth, I think, which is really, really, it must be incredibly difficult in your environment to be competitive. And I think it goes back down to the customer service. What do you get at your guest house that you don't get somewhere else? What is that experience? And that's why people come back.
That. And I would love to agree with you, Belinda, when you say the competition is very tight out there. One would ask Macy, why a guest house? Because there's a lot of guest houses in Witbank. The fact that I'm the first black person to have a guest house in Witbank, and thereafter they started mushrooming, especially during the coming of 2010 soccer match. So everybody thought that this was an opportunity. But, you know, I had to stay on top of the game as an old person. I know there are people that are coming up with beautiful guest houses. Those are the ones that make me try to find a niche. How do I differentiate myself from them? I keep myself on top of the game by doing all those many things that I've mentioned. But at the same time, I always tell people that you can't say there's a lot of pastors, I can't be a pastor. Some of the things I relate them to or a calling. You can't say there's a lot of teachers, I can't be a teacher. So how do you, yes, there's a lot of teachers, but how do you differentiate yourself? So we know exactly, we're trying to be on top of the game. You know that we are not there to relax. Our experience that we 10 years in the industry doesn't mean that we are the best. We must always strive to be the best, actually.
Macy, you go to the same guest house every day, same employees in general, the same things happen, clean rooms, people check in, check out. That can become pretty monotonous and boring. How do you stay passionate? What makes you get up on a Monday morning and look forward to Monday morning more than you do the Friday or the weekend? Well, actually, it's a 7 days of a week job. But what makes you get up still in the morning? Are you still passionate?
You're not meeting different people every day, and except that just waking up before I get to work, looking into myself, into the mirror, and see all the achievements I'm getting into life, they motivate me. And I talk to Mace and say, Mace, you're such a brilliant. How did you get to this? I never dreamt of some of the things that I've achieved now. And I'm telling myself that if I can achieve that, it means the sky is the limit. I can still achieve more. So I'm proud of myself. I don't wait for anyone to give me. If you're doing it anyway, you're trying to strengthen me, because we really need that in life. In business, you can't be alone. You need people who will keep on pushing you towards the right directions. Hence, I'm saying I'm competing so that they can groom me more. So Hosan is doing that. I've learned a lot. They've boosted my confidence. I can talk now. At first I would shake. They gave me the basics of how to attend or respond to questions, how to dress, you understand, your appearance means a lot. So I've learned a lot from them. It boosts my confidence. And when you go back, you impart that to your members of staff or to the team. Yeah. So that in itself, it's...
You inspire me. I really mean it.
Thank you.
But you're also sitting here with a vision. You've bought up properties around. You are planning a hotel. You have something to look forward to. You have challenges to overcome to achieve something in the future. You're still innovative. I mean, the ideas of even, you will not forget to mention Tsogo-san several times on the show. So you know, you service everyone who services you. Mm. There's a lovely golden thread here, Richard.
I was going to say, you understand you're connected in a bigger system.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that you need to plan as part of that system, and you understand that you need to be able to give and take from that system at the appropriate time in an appropriate way.
Yes,
and I think that's
nicely said.
And that's a key learning.
I believe that, you know, for them to move out of their comfort zone, identifying us, it takes money, it takes everything. So they go all out, identifying us, trying to support us, telling us what to do in our own establishments. At the end of the day, this is my establishment. And if there's someone who's caring to make you grow, you must take that with both hands. Take that opportunity and appreciate it.
The one thing that comes through for me is that authenticity that we spoke about earlier. Mm. And I think your passion and just how you strive to be so much more, I think that is just amazing. So it's also a very huge inspiration for us.
You're right. There is authenticity there. It's something you can't, I don't know, can you train someone in it? Probably not. So we commend you on that. But our age-old question that Richard also asks is, what do you wish you knew in the beginning that you know now? So speaking to the younger Macy, what would you tell her?
The Macy of 10 years ago, what do you wish you had heard on the radio?
What I wish I knew, it's about, you know, respecting the administration of your business. We taking for granted that when money comes in, you don't think for the future, you don't have plans. As long as money, you can wake up in the morning and say, I want to extend this room, I want to do, not thinking of the future. So I've learned that you have to respect administrations. Keep your eye on your day-to-day spending. And that way it will help you that at the end of the year, your financials, you don't have to explain yourself much because you've been keeping an eye, recording everything. So
administration. Most small business owners don't start their business to do administration.
I was going to say, the stuff you love, Audrey. I know you love it.
And compliance. That's the
compliance. Compliance, tax, banking, all of those good things that just keep us all busy.
Macy, do you want to win this competition?
I would love to. You know, the benefits of winning this competition, it makes even our clients, our community at large, to believe in us. I'm not only putting Belabone on the map, I'll be putting Emalahleni, I'll be putting Mpumalanga, I'll be putting, you know, everyone who's related, our guests, whether they're from all corners of the world, knowing that Belabone, you know, just listening to us on radio or everywhere, they call and tell us, you know, you're making us proud. All the interviews that I get on Facebook, they'll be commenting right now. Some of them are commenting, I know. So I can't disappoint them.
No, you're not. I tell you.
I don't want to disappoint them. So I know that I'm not the only person who's passionate about this. The members of staff, they told us that, you know, we're going to get that clip. We'll make sure that we listen. And
do you know how many people have been through your guest house over the 10 years, approximately? Hundreds, thousands?
I don't know.
That's a number you need to get to. Huh?
Exactly.
You need to celebrate. Just in closing, you need to celebrate milestones. Yes, how many guests you've been able to support?
You are our 5,000th guest. That's come through here, and as a result, you've got a night free. You know, it's an incredible thing to be able to say we've had 1,000 guests come through this, or 10,000. I just thought of that now, right now. So think of that. That also makes you different if you push that number. And they're all happy.
Wow.
You know, they all love it. And they're part of our community. It's a real home away from home. Anyway, great to have you in the studio. Good luck.
Thank you so much. We look forward to
seeing you next week. I don't have a favorite in this competition. Every time I thought I had one, then the next one comes along. It's like America's Got Talent. You know, you look at those five finalists and you think, oh my goodness, I want all of them to win. So it's exactly like that. So good luck.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And maybe one day you'll give us a night in your guest house.
I will definitely.
On the way to Kruger.
For you, for giving me this opportunity on air, you deserve one.
No, I'd love to.
Thank you.
Next up, that is our youth leadership platform. But first, Belinda, thank you for joining us from USB.
Thanks so much.
And of course, Richard, as always. And next up, we've got our youth leadership platform. Very interesting guest, Andrea Dali Ave. It's a fascinating surname. I want to ask him to say it and I've never seen it before, except on Twitter. I know his mother is through Twitter. So let's interview him in a minute. We're going to be with him. He's a fascinating young man whose life started. They said he'll, as a baby, they said he'll never have a normal life. But boy, has he achieved! And he was even at the Rio Olympics, Paralympics this year. So very excited to talk to him. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.